ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। आई वेलकम एवरीवन टू दिस डेली क्लास ऑन श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज। सो वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग टिल चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 टिल येस्टरडे, and today we'll start from text number 16. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate satah ubhayor api drashtontas tvanayos tatvadarshibhi। नासतो विद्यते भावो न भावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टन्तः त्वनयोस्त्वत्तत्वदर्शिभिः। नासतो विद्यते भावो न भावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि द्रष्टोन्तः त्वनयोस्त्वत्वदर्शिभिः। नासतो विद्यते भावो न भावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि द्रष्टोन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्वदर्शिभिः। ट्रांसलेशन। दोज़ हू आर सीयर्स ऑफ द ट्रुथ हैव कंक्लूडेड दैट ऑफ द नॉन एग्जिस्टेंट दैट इज द मटेरियल बॉडी देर इज नो एंड्यूरेंस नासतो विद्यते भावो। And of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. Na abhavo vidyate satah. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Purport. There is no endurance of the changing body. That the body is changing every moment by the actions and reactions of the different cells is admitted by modern medical science. And thus, growth and old age are taking place in the body. But the spirit soul exists permanently, remaining the same despite all changes of the body and the mind. That is the difference between matter and spirit. By nature, the body is ever changing and the soul is eternal. This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. In the Vishnu Puran 2.12.38, it is stated that Vishnu and his abodes all have self-illuminated spiritual existence. Jyotim Shri Vishnur Bhuvanani Vishnu. The words existent and non-existent refer only to spirit and matter. That is the version of all seers of truth. This is the beginning of the instruction by the Lord to the living entities who are bewildered by the influence of ignorance. Removal of ignorance involves the re-establishment of the eternal relationship between the worshipper and the worshipable, and a consequent understanding of the difference between the part and parcel living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself. The difference between oneself and the Supreme Being understood as the relationship between the part and the whole. In the Vedanta Sutras, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme has been accepted as the origin of all emanations. Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. The living entities belong to the superior nature, as it will be revealed in the 7th chapter. Although there is no difference between the energy and the energetic is accepted as the Supreme, and energy or nature is accepted as the subordinate. The living entities, therefore, are always subordinate to the Supreme Lord, as in the case of the master and the servant, or the teacher and the taught. Such clear knowledge is impossible to understand under the spell of ignorance. And to drive away such ignorance, the Lord teaches the Bhagavad Gita for the enlightenment of all living entities for all time. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we are here starting our discussion today on this section of Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. Krishna has just recently started speaking. The second time that he has started speaking is from verse number 11 of the second chapter. Today we have read verse number 16. So just now we have started speaking, and these are the instructions that we just read now in the purport, that Lord Krishna is speaking to all the living entities for all time to come. This is something that Lord Krishna considers important, and he knows that this knowledge will always be applicable. So no matter, you know, whether you are in the jet age, 21st century, or you are in some bygone age, but this knowledge that is presented has to be always applicable as per the speaker himself. Just to understand what is being discussed today, in, you know, just a few seconds or in a few moments, we'll just go through whatever has happened now. Krishna started speaking in the second shloka for the first time, second chapter, and he says, Kutastvam kashmalamidam vishame samupasthitam. And in one sense, you know, if somebody is asking somebody for help, say Mr. X is asking Mr. Y for help, and the first time Mr. Y starts speaking and he says, you know, from where has this impotence come in you? And this does not befit you. Anaryam, ajushtam, aswargyam, akirtikaram. It's like kind of rough, is it not? You know, you are seeking help from somebody and that person starts off by speaking that, come on, you know, from how has all this contamination come in you? So from ordinary considerations, an ordinary person, when he sees this passage, might not be able to understand what is the necessity for a person as worshipable, as benevolent, and considered to be very merciful as Krishna to speak such rough words when he starts speaking. If somebody starts speaking in a very soft way, and then, you know, in due course of time, seeing the, you know, disinterestedness of the audience, you know, he could speak roughly. But no, Arjun is, you know, in a very nice, composed, in the sense, he wants to seek instruction from Krishna, and then Krishna starts speaking in this way. Then certainly again Arjuna presents some of his arguments, and then again Krishna starts speaking in the 11th verse, which we must have discussed some days back. And then he says, Asochan anvashochastvam pradnya vadam shubhasase. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture on that verse says, Krishna directly chastises Arjun that you are speaking big words, but you are fool number one. That is what is the mood of Krishna. You are fool number one, you are speaking big words, but this does not befit you, does not match. So again, we see that the second time also when Krishna starts speaking to Arjun, again his words are very strong. The fool number one, just imagine for a person like Arjun, not an ordinary person. He knows everything. Very learned person, very brave person. And he says, you are fool number one. Why are you speaking such words which do not befit a learned person? So again, you know, somebody might feel, my God, this is getting heavy. But then there is a background to it. And then Prabhupada in this purport has explained to us. And we'll see, why is there a necessity for a person like Krishna to speak such rough words just at the start, when it is least expected? Another thing that struck me when I was going through these verses was, if you see that verse, Ashochan anva shochastvam pradnya vadam shabhasase gatasun agatasumscha nanu sochanti pandita, that is the verse. And the words that are used are gatasun agatasun. So gata is like, you know, gone. Like you say, in the later in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. So gata sandeha means my sandeha, my doubt, all my doubts, all my questions have gone away now. So gata means gone. Now in the translation, Prabhupada translates it as, that verse says, Ashochan Anvashochasam, this is the translation, says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. But if you see Krishna's words, Krishna does not say, you know, for the living or for the dead. He says, gatasun agatasunscha. So right from his first instruction, if you observe, Krishna makes it clear that a living entity is not this body. The word-to-word translation for gatasun and agatasun is, gata is gone and asu is the life force. So a person from whose life force has gone, that is a dead person, and from a person from whom life force has not gone, gatasun, agatasun. So he makes it clear that, you know, you are not this body, you are spirit soul. It means this knowledge that we have, or that is being presented here by Krishna, saying that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, and then he goes on to explain even in today's section that we are going to discuss. It's very important knowledge. Right from his first words, Krishna is speaking, you are not this body, you are spirit soul. And today we are discussing from verse number 16 to verse number 25. That is what is allotted. Let's see if we can cover that. But this whole section is again speaking about the qualities of the spirit soul. In the coming verses we'll see how a soul is immutable, unchangeable, different qualities Krishna mentions. But the point that I'm making is, apparently it seems that it's like a hard instruction. You know, you're fool number one. Don't you understand this? But even in that, that seed of this knowledge is given. That what you are doing is, you are mourning for people, or a wise person, in another words, he puts it like that, that a wise person does not lament for a person from whom the life force has gone, and neither he laments for a person from whom life force has not gone. Gatasun agatasun. He does not use living or dead. So right from that point, Krishna is, you know, stressing that now I'm going to give you this knowledge about spirit soul. I'm going to tell you how you are not this body and how you are spirit soul. Then in the 12th verse, Krishna says, Natu evaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipa. He says, soul is always existing. In 13th, he says, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. So just like you are changing your bodies even in this life, you will change your bodies even after this life. 14th and 15th, we just heard Radha Gopinath Prabhu last time, and he was speaking on how there is a need for practicing tolerance, matras parshastu kaunteya, like that. In this sequence now, today we come to verse number 16. And this verse mentions that those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the material body there is no endurance. So if you are speaking with reference to the material body, don't ever think that it's going to be permanent. And of the spirit soul, there is no change. This is how it comes. So first he's speaking about the soul. He says how soul is enduring. And then he says that how you have to tolerate different things. So it means, if you understand how a soul is permanent, how it is the soul that is undergoing changes, the body is undergoing changes, and the soul is not undergoing death when you come across a dead body, then you will learn to tolerate. Otherwise, if you are not on this level, if you don't have this preliminary knowledge that is given in verse number 11 onwards till 13, 11, 12 and 13, because 14 is matra sparshastu kaunteya, then unless we know that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, there is no question of having or practicing the quality of tolerance. That is something that is very much required today in our daily relationships with fellow devotees, with fellow non-devotees, when we are speaking, when we are trying to explain this subject matter to people outside, there is a great need for us, ourselves, to practice tolerance. Many times we might come across people who don't believe in God, who may not agree to any word that you speak, but still, you know, it's very important for us to practice this quality of tolerance. And in one sense, we could say that unless we understand that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, till that time it's very difficult to practice this quality of tolerance. So he says that Matras Prashastu Kaunte, and then again he switches back to the original topic, that is how we are not this body, we are spirit soul, and that is how we come today. Even in today's verse, if you see, he says, Ubhayor abhi drushtantas tu anayos tatva darshibhi. He says, tatva darshibhi. Tatva, a very familiar word, Hindi also. So tatva is a principle. Who is a tatva darshi? Tatva darshi is a person who has seen the truth, who has seen the principle. So those who are seers of truth, according to Krishna, they have concluded. Ubhayor api drashtontas. They have seen, they have concluded what? For the soul, there is no change. And for the body, there is no endurance. So again, you know, first he said, you know, you're speaking like a fool. So that was his personal remarks. Now, you know, just to, he's giving the same thing, but in a mild way. He says, I'm not saying like that, but you know, learned people, those who are tattva darshis, those who are seers of the truth, they have said like that. That of the soul, there is no change. And of the body, there is no endurance. Again and again, you know. In one sense, it's like hammering. Sometimes we see these buildings under construction. And, you know, it's like a skeleton, basically. The building is not yet completed. The walls are not completed. You just see the beams and different floors, one on top of another. And one time I remember Radha Gopinath Prabhu in his Sunday Feast class. He was mentioning how once upon a time when he used to go to Sion, he still goes, but this incident was at one point of time. He was telling that there was this worker who used to work in construction of a building at Sion, somewhere nearby where his program takes place. And, you know, for some reason, you know, he wanted to maybe hang a picture or something like that. It's still in its uncompleted state, this building. And every day this worker, maybe he was half crazy, something like that. But he was hammering at one of the, you know, strong pillars of that building. And this is like a huge building. You remember this? He was discussing this once. And, you know, slowly over a period of time, he was tick, 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 something like that, you know, he was hammering. Now, this particular beam or this particular pillar on which this particular worker was hammering, for some reason, turned out to be like a load-bearing pillar. You know, if somebody knows anything about construction, there are some pillars of a building which bear the load. And there are some pillars which just support the structure. So the load-bearing pillars you can't touch. They are the ones who, you know, hold the whole thing. So apparently, you know, this small one person and, you know, there's this huge structure and he's having tick, 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 tick. At one point of time, you know, the cut or that hole or, you know, that crack, that disturbance to that pillar went so deep that, you know, some part of the building actually collapsed. So he was saying that how, you know, seemingly for this person, it was not important. He was just slowly, you know, he was saying, I'm just hanging a picture, you know, some small things here and there. But it caused a very big effect in due course of time. Similarly, in all these verses, you know, he says, Ashochan Anvashochastam, Gatasunagatam. So, you know, he has put in that small tick, tick, tick. Right? You are not this body, you are spirit soul. Then he says, Dehi knows min yatha dehi. Just as, you know, logically speaking, in this life also you are a small child, now you are a youth, now you will be an old man. So in this life also you are changing bodies. So is it not logical that after this life also you will change your body? You know, tick, tick, tick. Slowly, you know, he is, every verse, if you see, he is giving that understanding. There has to be an understanding that we are not this body. That is from where the whole thing starts. If we are not clear with this concept, understanding the other concepts of Bhagavad Gita, understanding the other concepts of spiritual life, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., it's like a far distant dream for us. This is where we are. This is where we have to start from. So in this verse also, he says, Ubhayor api drashtontas, the tattva darshi bhi. It is they who are saying that of the soul, there is no change. And of the body, there is no endurance. So again, he is hammering that same point. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. If we analyze this verse, then the body does not endure and the soul does not change. Now if we see ourselves, we are like a kind of a package. We are a package, and in this present state we can see that yes, we are spirit soul and then we have an external covering of a body. So in one sense there is this package and the two materials of this package are totally different. The qualities are totally different. It's like I have a jar a glass jar, a container, and in that I have oil also and water also. So technically speaking, they are in the same jar. It's in the same package. But the qualities of the oil that is there in the jar and the qualities of the water that is there in the jar is completely different. Oil is inflammable, but water puts out fire. And they're never going to mix each other with each other. Similarly, you could say that, you know, our body is some kind of a container, some kind of a package, and our body has some qualities that it will never endure. Nasato vidyate bhava. And inside there is spirit soul. For it, there is no change. So, na bhavo vidyate sata. So, in the same package, we have two things which are completely different in qualities. You just imagine a room where there are two people. And, you know, of two completely opposite views, what's going to happen? You know, there are going to be a lot of arguments. It's going to be a very incompatible situation. If two friends agree with each other, the time spent together is very nice. But if two people spend time with each other and they have, you know, totally opposite likes and dislikes and everything is different, it's going to be difficult. So similarly, that is our case. We are in this container. Spirit, soul, there is no change. And body, there is no endurance. Completely different. And that is what we are. That's why we are facing so many problems in our lives. We don't understand because soul wants permanent happiness. So it's like oil has certain qualities. And water has something, you know, some other qualities. So soul wants permanent happiness, but body unfortunately is not capable of giving it permanent happiness. So always there is this dichotomy. Soul says, I want permanent happiness, I want permanent happiness. Body says, I can't give you permanent happiness, I can't give you permanent happiness. That's why we are all miserable. That in the same container, somehow we have landed ourselves by our own choice in a situation where we are composed of two different things. And those two different things have completely opposite qualities. So how are we going to be happy? It's not going to be possible. That's why tolerance is required. So if we tolerate this situation and advance in spiritual knowledge, then one day we'll understand how to get out of this situation, how to get out of this foreign, you know, covering that we have and go back to the spiritual world. So very important. How could we understand this concept that is presented in this verse in another way? I was thinking, suppose we go to a film or we go to a play and we are sitting. We are watching some sports match, let's say. We are sitting in a seat and so much action is happening there. Is it not in a drama, in a sports match? So many people are, you know, doing so many things. We are just watching that whole thing. Similarly, for the spirit soul, in one sense, he's just sitting there. And because we are not acting on the spiritual platform, none of our activities are on the spiritual platform. So if they are not on the spiritual platform, obviously they are on the material platform. So there is no connection of our activities, at least, you know, when we were not practicing sadhana bhakti, when we were outside the scope of devotional service. Till that time, at least we could say 100% that all our activities were based on matter, were based on attempts to get happiness from matter. And the soul has no connection, you know, soul is disinterested in activities that will try to seek happiness from matter. So in one sense, it's like, you know, you are sitting for a sports match and you are not the player. And, you know, the whole, you know, the whole other group of people are playing and they're having their fun and, you know, it's happening like that. And this person is just sitting like that, you know, just trying to enjoy the show. But what fun is there in watching? Real fun is in actually participating, is it not? Somebody could say, you know, I don't have those capabilities. But no, in this case, you have those capabilities. Every one of us has capabilities to act in a spiritual way. We have those capabilities. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Is it not? We are parts and parcels of God. So all of us can very actively, very nicely, in a very determined way, take part in spiritual activities. But what have we done? On our own, out of spiritual laziness, we are just sitting like that. And watching the whole world go by, you know, practicing material activities and not participating or not trying to understand what exactly is happening here. Why am I not getting happiness? There's something wrong here. Something like that. So same package, we see so many things even happen with our own body. What to speak of things happening in the outside world with different people. Even your own body. You are saying your body is changing. One day you look in the mirror, you have wrinkles. One day in the, you know, you look in the mirror, you have white hair. There are film stars who have, you know, shut themselves off from public just because they saw one white hair, just because they saw a wrinkle on their face. They just shut themselves off. They can't tolerate their body becoming old. And especially people knowing that their body is becoming old. So many changes are happening to the body, and the soul is witnessing those changes. It is a terrible state, is it not? So many things are happening, but it can't do anything because there are no activities for the spirit soul that we are doing. Of course, when you come to spiritual life, then you slowly learn what are spiritual activities. But without that, without absence, just imagine a person, you know, who's just tied to a chair. You just sit here and watch the whole show. He says, I want to participate. He says, no, you can't. Because these activities are not for you. These are material activities. So he says, okay, now at least let me know what are spiritual activities so that I can do something. So that is our state. That is why we are miserable. In this, you know, purport, 16, verse number 16 that we are discussing, there is one very nice line that Prabhupada says. He says, the last line of the first paragraph of the purport is, the words existent and non-existent refer only to spirit and matter. So existent refers to spirit and non-existent refers to matter. So I was intrigued by this statement, that how Prabhupada is saying that the word non-existent refers to matter. How can you say matter is non-existent? We are seeing so much, you know, manifestation of the material world. How is it non-existent? Sometimes we hear, you know, some Vedantists or some followers of the Vedic philosophy, they say that this world is false. Ever heard this? You know, this world is a false. This world is Maya. So Prabhupada explains this. In what way is it false? It is false because it is temporary. What you see today may not be there tomorrow. So it's false. It was never there. You expect things to last long, but they don't, because they are matter and matter is temporary. So in that sense, it's false. But it's not false in the sense it does not exist. Another example that is given in this regard is that suppose I have a rope and, you know, in my fearful state, suppose I come one day and it's dark and I perceive that rope as a snake. Start shouting, oh, snake, snake, snake. Somebody puts on the light and I say, oh, it's just a rope. So my fear of that rope being a snake is false. And how did that fear go away? By understanding what that thing really is. If that light is not put on, if I continue to understand or perceive that rope as a snake, my fear will also continue. My fear will also, you know, exist. So in one sense, this material world, it exists. But the attachments that we have for this world, the enjoyment spirit that we have for this world, that is false because it's not real. We are not going to get any happiness from this place. Just like oil and water have different qualities, they can never mix with each other. They can stay together in the same container, but they'll never mix with each other. Similarly, soul and spirit can never mix with each other. Although, in this particular container of our bodies, they are together. We were discussing some time back why, you know, how, not why, how, Prabhupada, right, Lord Krishna, right from his, you know, beginning instructions, he's speaking, you know, we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And sometimes Prabhupada also following Lord Krishna, pure devotee of the Lord as he is, sometimes in his books also, in purport after purport, you might find that, you know. So here, you know, we should understand that we are not this body. Or sometimes says, you know, he sometimes gives this car example, how a car without a driver does not move and only with a driver it moves. So somebody could think, why this person who has written such a nice purport to the book is repeating the same thing again and again? And one, you know, one student was asking me this question, so I thought, you know, it's important to understand this thing, that verse after verse, even Krishna, right from verse number 11 to verse number 25, in second chapter, he's speaking how, you know, soul is permanent and how body is changing and what are the qualities of the soul. It means, from Krishna's perspective, this knowledge is important knowledge. Is it not? So that's why Prabhupada, taking that essence, taking that spirit from Lord Krishna, is giving us deeper and deeper understanding of what is matter and what is spirit. Why is he repeating this in, you know, many instances, in many books, even in books like Bhagavatam, sometimes you find that. Why is he repeating that? One time one senior devotee spoke on this. He told me that if you go to the outside world, if you step just one step outside this temple, there are huge billboards staring right at you in your face. Every newspaper that you open, now you may not open because you may not want to, but sometimes we travel in trains, we travel in buses, and you know the person in front of us could have a, you know, newspaper in front of him. And somehow you are just forced into a situation where there's a whole big page right in your face. So something, you just happen to read it. Every magazine page, every newspaper page, every word on the billboard, every sound that you hear from the television, everything that you ever hear, every song sometimes that you hear, when you're traveling here and there, sometimes taxi wallahs, sometimes bus wallahs, rickshaw wallahs, they play some songs. And before you tell him to stop, you already hear something. Every word he said is making us believe that we are this body. You take any article from any newspaper, you take any article from any magazine, you take any song that is being played outside, you take any billboard that is, hugely nicely lit outside. Every word of that billboard, every word of every advertisement that you ever see is telling you, you are this body. He is telling you, you can be happy based on this body. If you procure things that are being sold by us, that are being propagated by us, don't worry. In due course of time, you will be happy. Is it not? That's why when we come to spiritual life, sometimes it's important for the acharyas, for our teachers, to tell us repeatedly, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. We come one day and we hear, okay, we are not this body. Verse number 11, suppose some of you have, you were there for that class. And then you hear, that Ashocharan Vashochastam Gatasuna Gatasun. So, okay, fine, yeah, I accept. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. Then you go out. And then you get exposed to all these things. And then again, there's some weakening happening. So maybe there is a chance. So again you need to hear it. That's why Krishna also repeats it. And that's why Prabhupada also repeats it. We have a tendency to forget. Because there's so much propaganda outside that prevents us from continuing in that consciousness. Also, we could say that even our experience in this life, before we came to spiritual life, some of us came in the early part of our lives. But most of us came to spiritual life when we were 20 years old, 25 years old, something like that. So even in this life, what to speak of, lives gone by, just discounting the fact that, we were non-devotees before. Let's just forget that. But even in this lifetime, 20 to 25 years of solid exposure, to non-spiritual subject matter. So all those conditions are still there. That's why it's important for us to understand how we are not this body, how we are spirit soul. That's why Krishna is, emphasizing this fact again and again. And it's interesting because just some days back I heard that this year is the 200th birth anniversary of Mr. Charles Darwin. If anybody knows who's Charles Darwin, he is the person who proposed evolution. That how, man has come from monkeys and there are other things to it. But he is the person who in a big way, for the first time in the history of mankind, put God out of the picture. Even in Christian religion, they say, at the start there was God. There was God's word, they say. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be creation. And there was creation. So all the major faiths of the world, they accept a personal form of the Lord. But Charles Darwin was the first person who actually stated in a book called Origin of Species that how it all started from matter. That is how survival of the fittest and all those theories came up. So on one side, I heard that throughout the world, all the scientists, they are going to celebrate this year, that this is 200th year that we actually discovered the truth, that actually there is no God, actually there is no spirit, but whatever has come from matter. Matter comes from matter. So here we have one side, big scientists trying to celebrate, the so-called appearance, or we could say birth, of a person who put forward a theory and in a big way removed God from the picture. So is it not necessary for us to re-emphasize and reaffirm that no, although outside there is so much propaganda, and there is going to be propaganda, especially this year. It's just started now. We are just into March. But now, 9 whole months, they are waiting for us, and we are going to have a lot of propaganda this year. How Darwinism, how evolution is the right approach to understand things as they are. So very important for us to understand this concept, how we are not this body, we are spirit, soul. Why does Krishna, start off with this concept? I'm sure, Krishna is God. So Krishna has so many other things to discuss, is it not? But so many verses. There is one story that I had heard And that explains this, that could explain this concept in a better way. A person went to a piano teacher and he said, I want to learn piano. So he said, okay, do you have any prior experience? Have you practiced a piano anywhere? He said, no. So, okay, come from tomorrow. I'll teach you. So, what are the fees? Says 50 rupees per day, per session, 50 rupees. So, he said, all right. Another person came to him. He said, I also want to learn the piano. He said, do you have some exposure, prior exposure? He said, yeah. When I was at home, I used to practice something. I had a small version of a piano and I used to practice something. So, I know some things. So, okay, I'll teach you. Come tomorrow. So, how much are the fees? Says 100 rupees per session. So he happened to overhear the previous conversation. And he asked, how come, you know, I already know things and you are charging me extra. So he says, you are a spoiled person. But you learnt on it on your own. You don't know the art properly. So first, I have to make you unlearn what you already have learnt. And then I can teach you the right thing. Whereas that first person who did not know anything, he is a blank slate. Whatever I teach him, he'll absorb very nicely. Similarly, all of us, before we came to spiritual life, we had all these conceptions, how Darwin is correct. That is what was being taught to us. So we first need to unlearn what we have supposedly learned. And then we can understand the spiritual concepts. That's why Krishna also, when he starts speaking, and even Prabhupada also, you are not this body, you are spirit soul. That is the whole foundation of the monument, edifice, the building of Vedic conception of life. That if the foundation is weak, how can we understand what is going to be discussed ahead? That's why it's very important for us to understand. Sometimes, you know, we hear these expressions. This song touched my soul. Heard this expression, you know, this song was so nice. It touched my soul. Or somebody says, oh, this painting, it has a soulful expression to it. Sometimes you ask about somebody's grandmother, some old person, he says, oh, my grandmother, she was a good soul. You know, we hear all these expressions. So we are used to hearing this word, soul. And when somebody says, you know, there's a soulful expression in this painting, it means he's talking about a very nice thing. And this painting is done in a very nice way. This song touched my soul. This person touched my soul. It means he touched my very essence. I liked it to the core of my heart. So people already know this, they have already this understanding that soul represents something that is very, very, you know, essential to us. Something very deep inside, you know, there's something called a soul. However, in absence of proper scientific knowledge, because the modern education system is not giving any knowledge about spirit soul, like Prabhupada when he went to MIT, so this is such a nice college, such an advanced college, but where is the department here? You have department for architecture, you have department for engineering, you have department for this and that, but where is the department for spiritual knowledge? No department in these modern universities. Similarly, because of this, that we don't have proper scientific knowledge of spirituality, because of this, although we are using expressions in our daily usage, oh, this person, that kirtan, Prabhu, I was there in that kirtan, it actually touched my soul. And the person who is saying this may not be a devotee. He may not actually understand, he may be coming to the temple for the first time, but still he'll use this expression, soul. So soul already, you know, denotes something very core, something very basic, something very essence, you know, the very essence of our existence. Yet, because there is no scientific understanding of what is a soul, which is given in Bhagavad Gita, you know, although we use these expressions, we don't believe in soul. Yeah. That person may be a strict adherent of Darwinism, yet he will use this word soul. But in the Darwin conception of life, there is no soul. So it means, you know, there is a dichotomy. You know, you have to catch him. Oh, what did you say? Soul, okay. I'll tell you what a soul is. Come, I'll teach you from Bhagavad Gita. That's why it's important to know. There are many faiths in this world, very confused. They also don't have understanding of what is soul. Some faiths think that animals, they don't have soul. That's why animal slaughter is okay. We have conversations. When Prabhupada went to the West, our founder Acharya, he did not believe in a very silent spectator sport that he is sitting in the ashram and, you know, he's just teaching his disciples. No. He went to the forefront. He used to talk to academicians, he used to talk to scientists, he used to talk to big professors and convince them how existence of a soul is a scientific fact. And many times he also spoke to religious leaders in the West. So many times they used to say, and you know, when the point would come to animal slaughter, some of them would say, but animals don't have souls. So what's harm, you know, where's the question of incurring a sin in killing them? And then Prabhupada used to explain, you have emotions, yes, and they have emotions, they have feelings, they have consciousness, you have consciousness. So what's the difference? What makes you say that animals don't have soul and only human beings have souls? And then, you know, there's a one famous conversation where the other religious leader, understanding that now, you know, they have come to a dead stop, says, okay, let's discuss higher subject matters. He does not have an answer to this question. So he says to Prabhupada, let's go to higher subject matters. Prabhupada says, no higher subject matters. First discuss this. First come to a conclusion that every living entity, be it a plant, be it an animal, be it a human being, everyone has a spirit soul. And so it's not, you know, good to have violence on these living entities. That's how we could understand that you have people who don't have any knowledge of soul. They are confused. You have people who use expressions of soul, but they don't have proper understanding. They are confused. You have people who believe in the existence of soul, but only in some species of life. They are also confused. That's why Bhagavad Gita is not some sectarian science. Bhagavad Gita is not a book, a Hindu book for a particular sect of people. It's not a cult book. It's a textbook for anybody and everybody who wants to advance on the path of spirituality. And that's why we have these regular classes on Bhagavad Gita, so that any and every person can come here and understand Bhagavad Gita in a deeper way. I have some more points, but let's just go to the through the different, you know, explanations, more explanations that Krishna gives about the soul. We'll go through the translations after text number 16. Text number 17, he says, I'll not read the verse, I'll just read the translation. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. So he gives one more information about that. It pervades the entire body. Although it has a shape, although it has a specific size, it stays in a particular portion of the body, but by its effect, it spreads all over the body. When something hurts your finger, you feel pain. So although the soul is not personally present there, you feel that. And a way to understand this is, sun is localized. Sun, the globe, is localized. Yet right here, far away from the sun, on the earth, we can feel heat and we can feel light that is coming from the sun. So in one sense, sun is, you know, you can feel the effects of sun. So similarly, soul is present at a particular spot in our body. But the consciousness that is there because of the soul can be perceived throughout the body. Another, you know, set of information about the soul. Text number 18, he says, the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Material body of indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. So he says, you know, he's saying soul immeasurable, soul indestructible, soul eternal, but body going to die. And therefore fight, O descendant of Bharat. You know, he's trying to give you a contrast. People who wear ties, a tie and a shirt, they know this. If you wear a light shirt, you have to wear a dark tie. If you observe, a person with a good dressing sense, he wears a light shirt and a dark tie. Or if he wears a light tie, then he should wear a dark shirt. If you wear a light shirt and a light tie, it does not look good. So when you have a contrast, it looks good. So Krishna is giving that kind of a contrast. The material body of an indestructible, immeasurable and eternal soul is subject to end. And therefore you fight, O descendant of Bharat. Text number 19, translation, he says, neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer or he who thinks he is slain is in knowledge. So if you think that some spirit soul is the cause for somebody's death, or if you think that somebody, some spirit soul is being killed, you are not in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain. So you are not a killer anyways. If you think that in this war, when you kill these people, you are the cause of their death, don't think so. There is some other cause. So you can continue to fight. Different reasons also, but still, same understanding. Always understand what are the qualities of the soul. And based on that knowledge, you act. Based on that knowledge, you fight. Text number 20 is a very famous verse. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Again, some more information about the spirit soul. And neither there was a time when he did not exist. He did not come to existence in the past, nor he is taking birth right now, nor in the future some more spirit souls will be born. No, they are already there. They are eternal, they are primeval, they are ever existing. Some more examples, some more understanding of the spirit soul. Text number 21, O Parth, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Again he is stressing. If you are interested in reading these verses and reading the purports, please have your own personal copy of the Bhagavad Gita and you can go through all these verses, very important verses. Text number 22 is a very famous verse, Vasamsi Jirnani Yatha Vihaya. Very logical argument, he says. He says, just as a person puts on new garments, I have a shirt, I have a kurta, and after some time this will be not be fit for me to wear. There will be some holes and you know, something will go wrong. So I discard this and I put on new clothes. Is it not? So he says, as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Very simple, logical examples. So he's trying logic, he's giving, others have said this. Sometimes he gets direct. You fool number one, I'm telling you, you're not like this. Different tactics. Text number 23. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor can it be moistened by water, and nor can it be withered by the wind. It cannot be dried also. Why this? Because this is a war situation. Krishna is a warrior. Arjun is a warrior. Arjuna is going to fight now. So, you know, in the previous ages, now we have the weapons that we have, the bombs or the bullets that we have, they can be categorized roughly as fire weapons. When you throw a bomb, when you, you know, ignite a bomb, there is fire. Explosion that takes place is fire weapon. In the previous ages, if you read Mahabharata and all, there are examples of water weapon. That you fire a particular weapon and there is immediately a huge, you know, amount of water that is created. Just imagine you are sitting at one place and suddenly there is a flood of water. It affects you. You are disturbed. Just like if there is a bomb explosion and there is a huge ball of fire here, you will be affected. Similarly, there are wind weapons. That you fire that weapon and there is a huge wind. You know, suddenly a hurricane comes here. What will you do? You will run away. There are some weapons called as mountain weapons. In the Mahabharata, you know, people have used these weapons against each other. You are running behind somebody on a chariot and suddenly that person fires a weapon and you know there is a huge mountain suddenly in front of you. What will you do? You are just stuck up. You know, you have to circumvent that whole mountain. So these are some advanced weapons that were available in the previous ages. Now, in the so-called advanced technology, so-called jet age, you know, we have reduced the knowledge of our weapons. So we are not advancing in any direction. Somebody could think, you know, oh, they used to fight with swords, they used to fight with bows and arrows, we have modern guns. But if you see from an overall point of view, they had water weapons, they had wind weapons, they had mountain weapons. There in that war of, you know, Virat, when he was, Arjun, you know, played that part of a eunuch, when he was incognito and he was fighting, he used a sleep weapon. The other party, they were put to sleep. At the end, that is when, you know, they were put to sleep and he collected all the, you know, different ornaments that are there on the turbans and that is how they proved, see, I have destroyed them. Because particular insignia is always there on particular person's turban or a crown. So there is sleep weapon. So many weapons. We don't have all those weapons now. Only weapon that I can think of this type is like tear gas. You know, it causes you to cause tears. A sleep weapon is more pleasurable, you know, it will put you to sleep. Now you have to cry all those, you know. Not very advanced civilization. So very pertinent, you know, he is giving different ways. So you are a warrior, I'll tell you. Soul can neither be cut, nor be moistened, nor be burnt, nor be dried. Relevant to Arjun as a warrior. And now we come to text number 24, translation. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble. So it cannot be touched, it cannot be moistened by water. Somebody could say, it cannot be moistened, but can it be drowned? Can it be completely dissolved in water? You know, all arguments that anybody could put forth, Krishna is smashing them. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can be neither burnt nor dried again. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable and eternally the same. Does not undergo change. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata. Now I come to verse number 25, which is my last shloka today. Translation, it is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. And then, you know, from verse number 26, which shall be discussed from tomorrow onwards, he gives some other things. But this is where the section about, you know, he speaks in this section on different aspects of the soul. He's giving us more and more information about the soul. And I just thought that it's important. I mean, all these verses, you could all go home and, you know, you could read these verses, how soul is immutable, unbreakable, not moistened, not burnt and like that. But it's very important for us to know why this knowledge is given here. In a situation where there is a possibility of an impending war, somebody is speaking roughly, apparently. He's not speaking roughly. That is necessary because unlearning your piano skills is very necessary for you to learn some new things. So similarly, Arjun had some conceptions. They are my relatives, so he has to be strong on him so that he unlearns whatever he knows. Then he can learn something new. So that's why I discussed why it's important for us to have this knowledge of the soul. Interestingly, if you just see, after he ends this section in the second chapter, for the rest 16 chapters, Krishna never again touches this topic of how you are not this body, you are spirit soul. Then he builds up on this. Then he says, okay, so now you are a spirit soul. Now what are the, you know, different things that are to be done? Karma yoga, then, you know, Gyan yoga, then karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness, Dhyan yoga, the seventh chapter and so onwards. But this is, you know, exhaustively he deals with that topic. Never again now. Now in the rest of the Bhagavad Gita, there's no verse which says you are not this body. So he had some time at the start of his presentation for, you know, making Arjun unlearn the knowledge. So he makes it clear that I want you to learn this fundamental aspect of spiritual life very nicely. So nice good section of verses speaks how we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And then he starts speaking other things. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Somebody has any comments or any suggestions? Then, yeah, okay. One devotee there has a point to make.
Spirit soul is movable or not?
Can you speak in the mic so that others can also hear?
Spirit soul is movable or not?
You are a very attentive listener. Because in one of the verses that we discussed, I think in verse number 24 or 25, Krishna describes the soul as immovable. Now if you observe me, on this basis I am moving. And Krishna says that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. So soul is appear to moving, is it not? Practically it moves, but Krishna is saying immovable. Why is it described like that? Described because movability also has an, you know, connotation. Or when somebody moves, means, you know, you say he changes. Like, you know, something goes wrong in somebody's family. Maybe your friend has some accident. You go and visit him. And you see, you know, he's in terrible pain. So you say, oh, that sight, it really moved my heart. You know, we say that. It means it affected you. It changed you. Before you went to see that person, you were like in a happy mood. You were in a very pleasant mood. But when you saw that gruesome sight, when you went to that hospital and saw him in pain, it changed you. So, you know, I was moved by that sight. Such a sad sight, like that. So moving in this reference here, it means that, you know, he changes. There's some change that will undergo, the soul will undergo. So when Krishna says immovable, he does not mean this physical motion, because he also says this, you know, soul is present everywhere. So like that. But he says immovable means the soul never changes. Soul does not undergo any vikar. The body, it undergoes six types of transformations. It takes birth, it grows, it produces byproducts, it maintains for some time, it produces byproducts, it dwindles, and then it dies. These are the six changes of a body. But the spirit soul never undergoes any changes. Spirit soul is always as it is. Ajo nityo shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. One of the verses here, 23, I think, it mentions this. So ajo nitya shashvato yam purano. Aja means unborn. Nitya is eternal. So he does not change. Shashvato yam purano, like that. So this is my understanding that immovable means it does not change. Just like we say, I was moved. Yeah.
Soul, spirit soul remains with body, or it is a part of Paramatma?
In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 15th verse, Krishna says that says mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. He says spirit souls are my parts and parcels. He says mere ansh hai, mama eva amsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So we are part and parcel of Krishna, and that's why we are spirit souls, because Krishna is the supreme spirit. That's why we are spirit souls. So when you give up this body, just like you will give up some clothes, these clothes that you are wearing, when they get torn, you will give it up and you will accept new clothes. Similarly, the spirit soul, you know, can get separated from the present body only to accept a new body. If it's not in the right consciousness, then it will have to accept a new body. So it gets separated, but then it can also accept another body. You understand this? Yeah. So I hope
understood.
Yeah, okay.
That point I understood.
Okay. So I've satisfied you?
Yes, satisfied. Second question, it may be different from this chapter, but what is the difference between brain, mind and soul, spirit soul?
Brain, mind and soul. Brain is a part of our body that is the seat of intelligence. Intelligence is the capacity that we have to take decisions. You know two things in which a particular activity, a particular thing could be done, and you have to choose which one to do. So based on your likes, based on the things that you know, you'll choose one out of two. So that ability, that capacity that every one of us has is called intelligence. So it is said that, you know, brain is the seat of intelligence. At least that is what my understanding is. So that is where, you know, said like that. Yeah. So that is brain. Mind is a physical substance, although subtle, it's gross body basically, that helps us have emotions. Like you love somebody, you hate somebody. So all these emotions you experience with the help of the mind. So mind is also a machine. Intelligence is also kind of a machine through which you can take decisions. So mind is that part of your body through which you can experience different emotions. And soul is you. Sometimes we might have this understanding that, you know, sometimes we see these dolls in a shop, or you might have small children in your family and you see a doll, and that doll has a cell, a battery inside. So when you remove that battery, that doll does not move. You know, your boss, dolls that talk, dolls that move, dolls that walk. Sometimes you remove that battery and that doll will not move. And if the battery is there, then the doll moves. So sometimes we could also have that understanding, especially after reading this, that soul is some kind of a spiritual battery inside. And we are this body, just like doll is a doll and then there is a spirit, you know, there is a battery inside. It's not like that. We are spirit soul and we have this external body covering us. It's not that we are this body and we have a spiritual battery inside our heart which runs us. Sometimes we could also. So I know what is spirit. But then I think that I am this body and I have that spiritual battery, just like a doll has a small battery that makes it run. No, we are spirit soul inside and we have this cage outside, cage of our body. Akinchan Krishna Prabhu can add something if he wants to. I just presented my limited understanding. You want to add? All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.